Hello, it is Friday, November 15th, 2024. I'm Charlie Shine, and reading the front pages of the Hartford Courant and the New York Times with me today is Bill Murphy. We're going to start by taking a look at the pictures in the front page of the New York Times and then jump over to Bill, and he's going to give us a look at the pictures in the front page of the Courant and our first story. So, taking a look in the upper left-hand side of the New York Times, a 3x5 photo of staff members cleaning out the office of Representative Matt Gaetz, who resigned after being nominated to be the Attorney General. More on all of that as the broadcast continues, but the picture itself, you've got a staffer who's holding an empty box, dragging it from one room to another, and, well, at the moment, that's all there is. As we move on down over to the left, right above the fold, a photo of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And the story itself, Trump to select Kennedy as head of health agency. And yeah, we're going to take a look at that story as well. The picture is just a headshot of Kennedy talking into a mic, the mic flag. Hard to read which TV station it is. Anyway, right at the fold, we have a picture from Paris. Thousands of officers were mobilized for the France-Israel soccer game yesterday near Paris, and we're going to have more on that story. Story not so much about the game, but the security that went along with it. More on that, again, as the broadcast continues. And that brings us down to the thumbnail photos in the bottom of the page. From the national section, questions for traffic plan. New York's governor is renewing plans for congestion pricing, but it's not clear the lower tolls will be enough. Looks like a picture of the committee sitting down and meeting, including the governor as well. And then as we move on over from the sports section, Vaughn plans World Cup return. A repaired right knee has the American ski racer aiming to compete, possibly in the 2026 Olympics. Just a headshot of her looking at the camera. And then as we, and that's Lindsey Vonn, by the way. Finally, from the weekend section, weekend arts section, inspiration from Egypt is the caption. An upcoming exhibition, at the Met, explores the shimmering civilization on the Nile as a continuing creative catalyst for Black artists. And you've got some samples of Egyptian art, and a African-American woman is staring at the heads of Egyptian heads that are on display. That's it for the pictures in the front page of the New York Times. Now we're going to go over to Bill and get a look at the pictures in the front page of the Courant. Our first story. Hello, Bill.
Good after. Oh, what is it? The morning or afternoon? It's well, anyway.
Try
hi, Charlie. All right. Pictures. There are three on the front page of the Courant. I'm going to read the caption first, then I'll describe the picture. Faculty and students from CCSU and Connecticut State Community College take part in a joint news conference held by CSU AAUP in the Four C's on the campus of CCSU, that's Central Connecticut State University, in New Britain on Thursday. The picture is that of students and faculty all lined up, and they are holding up flags. It's hard to, I really can't read what's on the flag, but they are there to protest the cuts in tuition. Then there's a smaller picture of Connecticut State Middlesex faculty member Sandra Couture, and she is standing with faculty and students in that same line from CCSU. And I can read her sign. She's holding up very clearly. It says, invest in U.S. with an exclamation point. And the other picture is a picture of Speaker Mike Johnson, Republican of Louisiana. He is the House Republican chairman. And he is addressing the House Republicans on Wednesday at the Hyatt Regency in Washington. He's standing there with a microphone, a lot of flags in the background, and there's a on the podium, if I can read it, it says House Republicans, and he is the House leader. So we're going to go right into our first story. It's from the World and Nation section of The Current. It's from Washington. President Joe Biden began his six-day visit to Peru and Brazil on Thursday for the final major international summits of his presidency, while world leaders turned their attention to what President-elect Donald Trump's return to the White House means for their countries. The visit to the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Summit in Peru and stops in the Amazon rainforest and at the Group of 20 Leaders Summit in Brazil offer Biden one of his last chances as president to meet with heads of state he has worked with over the years. But world leaders' eyes are firmly affixed on Trump. They already are burning up Trump's phone with congratulatory talks and taking stock of his picks for key national security and foreign policy positions. At least one leader, South Korean President Yoon Suk-yeol, is dusting off golf clubs he hasn't used in 8 years, just in case the chance to bond with the golf-loving Trump should present itself. This is not going to be a swan song for Biden, said Aaron Murphy, an analyst at the Center for Strategic and International Studies in Washington. Not only is he a lame duck, but a super lame duck, because his successor is going to have very different policies. White House officials insist that Biden's visits to APEC, APEC, and the G20 will be substantive, with talks on climate issues, global infrastructure, counter-narcotic efforts, and one-on-one meetings with global leaders, including Chinese President Xi Jinping, and a joint meeting with South Korea's Yoon and Japanese Prime Minister Shigeru Ishiba. He's going to have the same message that he's had for 4 years as president, which is that he believes that America's allies are vital to America's national security, White House National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan told reporters after Biden hosted Trump for Oval Office talks Wednesday. They make us stronger. They multiply our capabilities. They take a burden off of our shoulders. And we're going to go over now to Charlie for the next story.
Thank you. Okay, taking a look at the international section of the New York Times. Violence in Haiti grows terrifyingly worse as gangs go berserk. Peacekeeping mission sponsored by the U.S. fails to restore order. Haitian gang leaders took to social media last weekend and promised trouble. They delivered. If you're reckless in the streets, you will pay the consequences as of tomorrow, Joseph Wilson, a gang leader known as Lamu Sanju, said on Sunday in a widely circulated recorded message. He spoke for Viv and Sam, a coalition of gangs with the euphemistic moniker, Living Together, that has sowed terror in Haiti for the past several months and vowed that they would be, quote, in the streets, unquote. Within 48 hours, at least three U.S. aircraft had been shot at, forcing the closure of Toussaint Louverture International Airport in Haiti's capital, Port-au-Prince, and stranding passengers all over the world. The Federal Aviation Administration suspended all U.S. flights to Haiti for 30 days, and American Airlines said it wouldn't return to the country until at least February. Even the United Nations humanitarian flights were grounded. The havoc was not limited to the airport. Dr. Deborah Pierre, a urologist, was shot and killed on Tuesday while getting into her car in Port-au-Prince, and her father, a dentist, was wounded, her former boss in South Florida, Dr. Angela Grouse, said. Doctors Without Borders announced that its employees were pulled over by the police on Monday and then tear gassed by a vigilante mob. Wounded patients were ferrying in an ambulance. Suspected gang members were killed. In the middle of it all the turmoil, a new prime minister was sworn in Monday afternoon to replace the one who was fired on Sunday, less than six months on the job. Nearly 6 months after hundreds of Kenyan police officers arrived in Haiti on a U.S.-sponsored mission to restore order, the crisis has suddenly worsened. The country's gangs, in stark fashion, have demonstrated that they are a force to be reckoned with, and that the efforts to quash them have been largely futile. With a new U.S. president who has made disparaging comments about Haiti about to take office, the situation is growing increasingly dire and uncertain. It's not back to where we started. It's worse, said Sister Pace Philippe, a French nun who runs schools for street children in Cite Soleil, a poor neighborhood in the capital. More areas have been taken by gangs. More people had to leave and flee their homes and are homeless. It's not any better.
Thank you, Charlie. Another story from the World and Nation section from Washington. The House Ethics Committee, which has been investigating allegations that Representative Matt Gaetz engaged in sexual misconduct and illicit drug use, was prepared to vote to release a highly critical report about Gaetz on Friday, according to a Republican official familiar with the matter. The release would have come 2 days after President-elect Donald Trump selected Gaetz to be Attorney General. Gaetz, Republican of Florida, abruptly resigned from his House seat late Wednesday, effectively ending the ethics investigation that has hung over his head for years. Gaetz, the official said, had repeatedly offered combative replies to questions posed by the committee, effectively delaying the fact-finding process for months. The publication of the committee's findings was additionally delayed, the official said, because of a House rule that forbids releasing a negative report close to an election. The official spoke on the condition of anonymity to discuss a sensitive investigation. Now, with Gaetz's departure from Congress, the committee no longer has jurisdiction to investigate him. It was not immediately clear whether it would still release its findings. Tom Rust, the chief counsel and staff director for the panel, declined to comment. The report's expected release Friday was reported earlier by Punchbowl News. Republicans in Congress expressed shock at Gaetz's selection to be Attorney General. Gaetz, who led the successful effort last fall, the House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, is one of the most reviled members of his conference. For 2 years, the Justice Department looked into allegations that he had an inappropriate sexual relationship with a 17-year-old girl and possibly violated federal sex trafficking laws. The department closed its inquiry last year without filing charges against Gaetz. Charlie?
Two blasts in Brazil's capital leave only attacker dead. From Rio de Janeiro, the explosions that shook Brazil's capital on Wednesday evening and prompted an evacuation were an act of terrorism by a lone attacker who sought to violently disrupt democracy, police officials said on Thursday. The authorities said the only person killed was the attacker himself, and no one was injured. But the two explosions took place near the Supreme Court in Brasilia, the capital, and put the nation on edge just days before the country is set to host a major group of 20 summit that President Biden and other world leaders are expected to attend. The attack echoed the violence that descended on Brasilia following the election of President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva nearly 2 years ago, fueling worries about renewed tensions after a period of relative calm. While tensions have subsided, Brazil's far right has appeared energized in the days since President-elect Donald J. Trump's sweeping return to power in the United States. The authorities identified the attacker as Francesco Wanderley Luiz, a 59, a locksmith from the southern state of Santa Catarina. They said he had arrived earlier in the capital seven months earlier. They described the act as a suicide bombing that involved long-term planning by an attacker who appeared to have acted alone, but they linked the attack to broader political extremism. Officials said it was too soon to say if Mr. Luiz had received funding or additional help from others. The investigation will reveal if there are other connections, if there are other networks that are behind it, said Andre Passos Rodriguez, Director General of the Federal Police, said at a news conference on Thursday. We still don't know the motive for the crime, he added. He said, adding that it is being treated as a terrorist act. He said that the attack showed that extremist groups are active and highlighted the need for authorities to act swiftly. Police said that the attack appeared to target justices of Brazil's Supreme Court. Officials confirmed that Mr. Luiz, also known by his online nickname Tui Franca, unsuccessfully ran for local office in 2020 with the conservative Liberal Party, currently associated with former President Jair Bolsonaro. Brazil's Vice President Geraldo Alckmin called the explosion sad and serious, and said the country is working continuously to reduce this violence, these absurd acts that compromise peace, democracy, and security. Phil.
Thank you, Charlie. Another story from the World and Nation section is from Kharkiv region, Ukraine. The four drones were designed to carry bombs, but instead the men of Ukraine's Kharkiv Brigade packed them with food, water, and hand warmers and launched them in darkness toward the front line, a 15-minute flight away. The unit commander, who goes by the call sign Kit or Cat, pilots the tiny unscrewed aircraft from a basement room he jokingly calls their airborne, guided by the drone's night vision camera. He drops the 22-pound packages as close as he can to the position where as many as five infantrymen battle Russian forces in the late autumn chill. The delivery will hold them for 2 or 3 days. And that's about as far as Kit dares look into the future. He knows that President-elect Donald Trump's win in the U.S. will change something in his life, but as far as he and other Ukrainian soldiers on the front are concerned, figuring out how is a game for politicians. For him, all that matters is the distance that Russian forces advance or retreat in the sector that's his responsibility. We are trying with all our might to destroy them and win back our territories so that it does not go any further, so that there are no more destroyed cities and destroyed lives, Kit said. We need to focus on the present in our work and try to do it effectively in the here and now. But he cannot escape the sense of a gathering storm. Russia is increasingly hitting the Kharkiv region with unstoppable building-leveling glide bombs and swarms of drones and chipping away at territory there. Its troops are advancing in the Donetsk and Zaporizhia regions. Up to 12,000 North Korean troops have been sent to Russia's Kursk border region to help beat back Ukrainian forces there, according to U.S., South Korean, and Ukrainian intelligence assessments. Trump, who has called President Vladimir Putin pretty smart for invading Ukraine, has repeatedly criticized American backing of Ukraine. He characterized Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky as the greatest salesman on earth for winning U.S. aid. Zelensky was among the first world leaders to publicly congratulate Trump and said the two discussed how to end Russian aggression against Ukraine when they met in September. The Biden administration has said it will send as much aid as possible between now and Trump's January 20th inauguration to help Ukraine hold back Russian forces and maintain a strong hand in potential peace negotiations. It's approximately 19 minutes past the top of the hour. That means it's time for the weather. Charlie will give us the national forecast from the New York Times, and I will give you the local forecast.
All right, taking a look at the national forecast from the New York Times, spotty showers will dampen eastern Michigan, southwestern New York, much of Ohio, western Pennsylvania, eastern Kentucky, West Virginia, southwestern Virginia, and western North Carolina today. Heavier rain will exit the coast of southern Delmarva, Virginia, and North Carolina. A wintry mix is expected in northern Maine, with periods of rain and drizzle farther south in the state. Numerous snow showers will occur in the mountains of eastern Oregon, Idaho, and Nevada. Showers will dampen the lower elevations in Washington, Oregon, and California. Gusty winds, low humidity, and dry brush can result in high fire danger in southern New York, western Connecticut, eastern Pennsylvania, New Jersey, eastern Maryland, and Delaware.
And the local forecast for today, partly sunny, then gradually becoming sunny, with a high near 56, and it will be breezy. Tonight, mostly clear, with a low around 33. Saturday, sunny, with a high near 59, and it will be windy. Saturday night, clear, with a low around 34. Sunday, sunny, with a high near 61. And Sunday night, mostly cloudy, with a low around 38.